The following podcast is provided to you free, as is all our content, at drhoffman.com. If you'd like to listen, help support Intelligent Medicine, and get great values by shopping at our supplement store, go to drhoffman.com and click on Shop, then click on the store. Thanks, and enjoy the podcast.
Welcome to Layla Weighs In on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. This is Layla Mutin. I'm the nutritionist at the Hoffman Center. I thank you for listening to my podcast. I thank you for listening to the Intelligent Medicine series of podcasts. I was asked to talk today about cancer. I was asked, what is the best diet for cancer? And by the way, I thank you for your questions. I welcome your questions. And please email your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. That, again, send your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. Just so you know, I'm getting a lot of questions from you, which I'm very, very happy about. So continue sending them. If you don't hear an answer to your question, you know, the following week, that's because I've got a little bit of a backlog, which I'm very happy about because that gives me a lot of information, a lot of fodder to discuss on these podcasts with you. So you may not hear an answer to your question for about a month, but I promise you I will get to it as long as I feel that it's relevant to nutrition and health and wellness and my work here at the Hoffman Center. So, cancer. What is the ultimate diet for cancer? Well, those of you who know me or have read the newsletter, you know, the Intelligent Medicine newsletter. By the way, to sign up to the newsletter, simply go to drhoffman.com and you can sign up there. It's free and it comes out weekly towards the end of every week, Thursday or Friday or so. You may unsubscribe at any time. All right. Cancer, for those of you who know me, as I just started saying a moment ago, cancer loves sugar. We have actually known since the 1980s, if not the 1970s, and I remember reading about this even as an undergrad in college, that there is an intimate association between insulin and cancer. Insulin is a very important hormone. It regulates glucose in the body, helps us use glucose for energy in the body, and beyond that, it's a fat storage hormone. Insulin is also a growth factor. So, and this may be how it is involved in the growth of cancer. Let me go on. There was an article in The Lancet way back in 2006 called Cancer Sweet Tooth, The Janus Effect of Glucose Metabolism in Tumorogenesis, the development, the growth and feeding of tumors. It has been long known, according to The Lancet, in the scientific community, that cancers feed on glucose. The fact that cancer has a sweet tooth firmly points a finger at excess carbohydrate intake. This is actually causing the biochemical changes, which can set the stage for the development of pre-malignant tumors. You know, before you have a full-on tumor, you've got pre-malignant cells, you have precancerous cells, right? Now, glycolysis, which is the metabolism of glucose, that is our blood sugar-burning metabolism. Amongst practitioners and a lot of nutritionists, they will say this is your main metabolism, which is blood sugar burning, which I beg to differ. I believe it's fat burning. Anyway, in this context, the metabolism of glucose contributes to carcinogenesis, contributes to the growth and feeding of cancer. This information is actually supporting the fact that excess consumption of carbohydrates and the obesity that happens with that predisposes people to cancer by contributing to the biochemical selection of very early tumors, and that carbohydrate restriction and exercise may reduce the burden of early and ultimately advanced disease. So changing your lifestyle, carbohydrate restriction, exercise, can also alleviate the burden on the healthcare system with its, you know how expensive cancer treatments are. And, you know, the survival rate is not great, depending on the type of cancer. So, since cancer has a sweet tooth, you've already heard me say, the reduction of your dietary carbohydrate intake can help to shift your metabolism from glycolysis, which means glucose burning, blood sugar burning, to lipolysis slash ketosis, which is fat burning. This is very, very sound medical nutrition therapy, in my opinion, for cancer prevention and for treatment. So let me offer you some studies to support this. I was reading in Science Daily that prediabetes is linked to increased risk of cancer. What is prediabetes? It's an intermediate stage between normal blood sugar level and overt diabetes. It's that impaired gray area, right? Apparently, prediabetes, which many Americans are walking around with, because, you know, nobody's actually diagnosing you with prediabetes, but they will diagnose you when you have full-on type 2 diabetes. And that's probably when your insurance will cover that, too. Anyway, prediabetes is associated with a 15% increased risk of cancer overall. Okay? And even after controlling for BMI, body mass index, you know, overweight, obesity, the presence of prediabetes by itself remained associated with an increased risk of cancer of 22%. What does that mean? You don't have to be overweight or obese. You could be a normal weight, but just the existence of prediabetes, an impaired fasting glucose, an impaired glucose tolerance, a hemoglobin A1C of 5.6 or more, that is associated with an independent increased risk of cancer by 22%. Now, prediabetes was found to be significantly associated with increased risks of cancer of the stomach and the colorectum, also of the liver, also of the pancreas, the breast, and the endometrium. The endometrium is the uterus. So, lifestyle intervention is the mainstay of treatment for prediabetes in the general population. And that this analysis reveals that prediabetes is indeed associated with an increased risk of cancer. Here's another article to support this. And this was posted January 5th of this year, 2016, called Behaviors to Beat Cancer. It's estimated that one-third of all cancers may be attributable to excess body fat, including cancers of the GI tract, reproductive organs, urinary tract, blood, bone, and thyroid. We have more and more cancers of the urinary tract, the gastrointestinal tract, reproductive organs, breast cancer, all of that. We're seeing more and more pancreatic cancer, which I'm finding very, very interesting. Now, this is attributable to excess body fat. I want to make a distinction. We're not just talking about being overweight or obese. We're talking about doing a body composition on you to determine how much body fat you are carrying. Even a thin person can be over fat. We consider anyone at 30% fat percentage or greater as being metabolically obese. This is very, very important. I no longer consider your height and weight and where is your BMI to be a good indicator of your health. It's very important to do a body composition. I do like the Tanita scale for that. By bioelectric impedance, it determines how much lean mass you're carrying and how much fat mass you're carrying. And again, 30% or more of fat mass indicates metabolic obesity. It doesn't matter that you're 5'6 and only 130 pounds. And that's a normal weight for somebody 5'6", right? If your fat mass is 30% or more, and it can be, even though you're a normal weight, this is a risk factor for cancer. Now, there was a study done where New York University colleagues analyzed medical and dietary data collected from about 3,000 men and women enrolled in the Framingham Heart Study. You know the Framingham Heart Study. Very famous heart study from Framingham, Massachusetts. They attempted to ascertain the relationship between cancer prevention recommendations and cancer incidence. And they looked at a 7-point score based on recommendations for body fat, physical activity, foods that promote weight gain, animal foods, alcohol consumption, all of these. And they found that specifically the strongest predictors of cancer risk, there were two measures, specifically adherence to alcohol recommendation, meaning limiting alcoholic drinks to 2 for men and 1 for women at most a day, was protective against obesity-related cancers combined and against breast, prostate, colorectal cancers. These are the most common cancers now besides lung. And in addition, they say, among participants who consume starchy vegetables, they found that eating sufficient non-starchy plant foods, vegetables, fruits, your legumes, was associated with a lower risk of colorectal cancer. So the study authors concluded here that lower alcohol consumption and a plant-based diet was consistent with cancer prevention guidelines, and they were associated with reduced risk of obesity-related cancers in this population. Now, another thing I want to bring to your attention, because a lot of effort is directed to genetics or genomics in cancer. Do you have that gene? Do you have the BRCA gene? Do you have the other gene? You know, any other sets of genes that may indicate that you may be predisposed to cancer. Well, there is a scientist. He's a professor of biology at the University of Illinois. Now, let me see here. He is, I believe, in Boston. Let's see here. His name is Thomas Seyfried. And I would urge you, lay people and practitioners alike, to Google Thomas Seyfried. That's S-E-Y. F-R-I-E-D, and the word cancer, and you will come upon a YouTube of a presentation he did in March of 2015, I believe it was, March 2nd, about cancer. And the whole hypothesis about the genetic component in determining cancer is actually overrated. He is actually finding that nuclear genetic abnormalities cannot be responsible for cancer, despite the commonly held beliefs in the cancer field as of today, and that genomic instability that's observed in tumor cells and all the other recognized hallmarks of cancer are now considered the downstream phenomena, meaning the genes change after something else happens. And what Dr. Seyfried is proposing is that the genes switch on or off after an initial disturbance of cellular energy metabolism, and that these disturbances in tumor cell, in cancer cell energy metabolism, can be linked to abnormalities in the structure and function of mitochondria. Here in our world of integrative and functional medicine, we are able to look at the mitochondria and see that so much of our chronic disease begins there. The functioning, the health of our mitochondria, or the disease, the ill health of our mitochondria. Professor Seyfried is saying that cancer growth and progression can be managed following a whole body transition from fermentable metabolites, primarily glucose. What did I say about cancer loves sugar earlier? Primarily glucose, and he's also finding a link to glutamine, which is interesting. To respiratory metabolites, primarily ketone bodies. Ketone bodies are the byproducts of fat metabolism. This transition from burning glucose and fermentation metabolism and switching to respiratory metabolism, meaning a fat-burning metabolism, the production of ketone bodies, can help to reduce tumor vascularity and inflammation while enhancing tumor cell death. Let me put it in plain English for you. Cancer loves sugar. It feeds on our glucose-burning metabolism, right? A tumor, a neoplasm, a tiny tumor, will help to support and feed itself by promoting angiogenesis. That means it will grow a vascular network so that it can grab all this blood sugar from your vascular system in order to feed it and enhance the growth of the tumor. By starving it of the blood sugar that it needs for its care and its growth, and switching to lipolysis ketosis and a primarily fat-burning metabolism, we may be able to starve that tumor and either lead to the arrest of the tumor's growth and progression or even reverse the tumor growth and progression, which would be fantastic. I urge anybody listening to this podcast today, after you're done, go to Google, type in Thomas Seyfried, Seyfried, and cancer. You will find that YouTube. It's about an hour long. Watch it. Pay attention to it. His research, and he's very, very well published. His research about this is extremely compelling and links more and more to the previous research as far back as a few decades that is already informing us that our blood sugar burning metabolism may be a feed to cancer cells. And maybe that's why we're seeing such an explosion of cancer in the past 100 years. Okay? So, if you're overweight, if you're overfat, if you are insulin resistant, if you are pre-diabetic, take care of this. Insulin resistance and cancer are intimately associated. And insulin resistance encourages cancers in several ways. By the blood sugar, too much blood sugar, but also cancer-promoting estrogen. You know, our fat cells, they're not just a depot. They're also secreting inflammatory cytokines and excess estrogen. You've heard of estrogen-related breast cancers and reproductive cancers. These are cancers that are fed by excess estrogen, right? So another reason to go on a lower carb diet. You want to eat a diet that is high in technicolor. You want to eat lots of berries. You want to eat lots of cruciferous vegetables. You want to include a lot of dark green leafies. You want to include a lot of good nutrition in your cancer diet. You want to include certain supplements. You want to take care of your immune system. We know that cancer can help to stop the growth of tumors. This has been shown in the research, but you know, antioxidants like vitamin C, like EGCG, can also help to nourish your immune system. You know, it's about the terrain. It's about the host. We are the host. If you have a high-functioning immune system, if you take excellent care of yourself, you can make your body inhospitable to growths like, you know, not just the common cold, the flu, pneumonia, and infection, common infections, but also to cancer. So, take good care of your body. Take antioxidants like EGCG, take curcumin. There's a lot of good research now on curcumin, which can help to arrest and even reverse tumors. It's a powerful anti-inflammatory. Taking things like DIM, if you have excess estrogen in your body, this can help with the excesses. Empower, AHCC, which is active hexose correlated compound. These are the medicinal mushrooms that are used in traditional Japanese healing. They're used in a lot of German medicine as well. Take kyolic, the benefits of garlic. Garlic is like taking an antibiotic almost. Take your antioxidants, follow a carbohydrate-restricted diet. Even our Stone Age ancestors in the dead of winter, at least half the year, were in a primarily lipolysis, ketosis metabolism, a fat-burning metabolism. This may be why, you know, we don't know why there was less cancer then. Of course, we weren't there to observe, right? There were no records taken. Our prehistoric ancestors died way earlier than we did from predators, from infection, from being exposed to the elements, the environment. How would we know? But we do know that this century, cancer is our modern-day plague. Diet can help you prevent as much as 50% of all cancers. Start now. These are all things in your control. I thank you for joining me on this edition of Layla Weighs In on this Intelligent Medicine podcast. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.